Good morning. Welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Miller, chosen for a sermon topic, Jesus and His Bride, based on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Mr. Ron Baker is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. So happy to be with you all again as we get to gather together and worship our great God together. What it is a blessing to come and worship and receive the many gifts of God, knowing that God, He is both powerful and loving, and that He has good things in store for His people today. In light of His goodness and promises, let us sing together our first hymn, number 543. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in my Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, defend your church from all false teaching and error, that your faithful people may confess you to be the only true God and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 29. The vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things to this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exalt in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and at this time I invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning. It's so good to be with you today. What do I have with me? A cereal box, right? And what's inside the cereal box? What? Nothing? There's got to be cereal inside the cereal box, no? I mean, it says it right there, cornflakes, right? So if I open this up, of course I'm going to find, oh no, you're actually right. There isn't anything in there, is there? Now, how can that be? Now, how could it be that it says there's cornflakes inside, but There's nothing inside. When I look closer, there's nothing there. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Do you think people can ever be empty inside? You know, actually, we learn in our gospel reading today that Jesus, he kind of says that even people can be empty inside. When he said that these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What Jesus is saying is that, you know, people, they put on a good show, right? They look like they love God by what they say, sometimes by what they do. It looks like they do nice things to other people. They go to church regularly. But, you know, sometimes on closer look, we learn that the heart can be empty, that it can be actually empty of the love of God. And did you know, in fact, that's actually how we were born. Did you know when we were born? We were born with our hearts empty. We didn't love God when we were born. In fact, you know what we loved instead? We loved sin. We loved to be selfish. We loved to say mine, right? We loved to hit people and to be mean. But you know what God did for that, or for us? He has put love inside of us, and he does that by Jesus. Paul tells us that we love God because he first loves us. Jesus, he came to die on the cross for us. He came to forgive us our sins. And when we learn of his love, he puts love inside of us. He fills us so that we would love him in return. And he has brought us into such a wonderful relationship with himself, where we love him and he loves us. And ultimately, the day is coming when we are going to live forever with him, where we are going to be full of love, not like an empty cereal box, but full to the brim of love and joy and peace. And I look forward to that day when I'm going to be spending it with all of you as well. Well, can you please join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us, for filling us with your word, with your love, and with your spirit, with your truth. We thank you for filling us with all good things. We ask that you would fill us with love, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we can live in a wonderful relationship with you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Well, you can go back to your seats. I won't give you cornflakes, but you can grab a piece of candy. And the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. It's a grand declaration that Paul makes in our epistle reading this morning. For in verse 30, he says that we are members of Christ's body. Well, I hope to dive into the implications of such a beautiful statement this morning. We must first consider, though, who is the we that he's speaking to? In fact, dear friends, everyone must answer that question for themselves. That when Paul says that we are members of his body, we must examine ourselves and see, am I included in that little word, we? Because while we might love the thought of universal salvation, that everyone is going to eventually wake up one day in heaven, the reality is, though, that not everyone will enjoy the privilege. Not everyone is a member of Christ's body. For while the gospel is certainly for whosoever, we know that not everyone makes good on the claim, but rather many refuse. Many reject, many are self-deceived, and countless others even scoff at the gift. On the last day, Jesus says, many are going to be found sleeping. For instead of waking up and grabbing hold of God's promises now, so many are sleeping away this day of grace. And these are those of whom Jesus says that on the last day they will come knocking on heaven's gates, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Only to be met, though, with the Lord's response, depart from me, for I never knew you. Yes, dear friends, it's clear that not everyone is included in that word, we. And so we would do well this morning to put ourselves under examination. It's even wise that we should do so. For it's what Paul says elsewhere, commanding his listeners to examine themselves to see if they are in the faith. Before we even look at the privileges of what Paul is speaking of in this verse, we have to settle the question, is he talking to me? Am I included in the we? Well, looking back then to the start of Paul's letter, we can see exactly who it is that he's been speaking to all this time. For when he first used the word we can examine the context. We, he says, who have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He says, we who have been chosen by God and have been adopted as his children. This we, dear friends, includes only those who have this spirit of adoption. That is, those who by experience knows what it means to be adopted into the family of God, to have been taken out of the family of Satan and brought into the family of the Lord, becoming his dear child. And if we want to know if we are included in this we must examine ourselves then. Do we have that spirit of adoption? Do we have that crying breath within our souls which cries out, Abba, Father? This we, Paul implies, is made up of only those who have a longing upon the Heavenly Father, who longingly think upon him and who see him as their protector, their provider, their security, and in short, their father. Prayer is the breath of one's spirit, and if there is no breath, if there's no prayer, there's no life. But beyond that, though, Paul clarifies even more as he goes on. And he identifies this we further as those who have received redemption by the blood of Jesus. He speaks of those who have been redeemed, meaning those who have been purchased by the Lord. To be part of this we, you can't be your own master. You have been bought with a price, Paul says. We are the Lord's servants, his subjects, his property even. For he who tries to keep his own life, Jesus says, will lose it. But he whose life is given over to and is possessed by God, his life is secured in the hands of the Almighty. And not only are they secure, but they are truly his. Again, we could examine ourselves to see if we are the beneficiaries of this message by seeing if we belong to the Lord. Have I relinquished my claims of self-ownership? And have I given myself solely unto the Lord? And the last criteria by which we are to examine ourselves, Paul says further, that this we exclusively refers to those who possess the forgiveness of sins. That is, those who have peace with God and who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you know what it's like, dear friends, to feel the weight of and burden of your sin falling from your back? Have you experienced the joy of seeing your Savior on the cross and with the eyes of faith been comforted in knowing that he did that for you to pay the penalty of your sins? Well, dear friends, if you can by grace through faith claim these things to be true for you, then the doors lay open before you, that you may walk through them and enjoy the full blessing of our text, where Paul says that you are members of his body. For these descriptions of we, they're not meant to bar people out. We didn't go through this in hopes to keep anybody away, but again, we are here to simply lead us to examine ourselves, to not just try to assume ourselves into the family of God, but rather we must truly enter into the promises of God by faith. We must truly walk through the doors. It's not enough to just see the doors from afar. It's not good enough to just study the doors. But we must enter through that door, which is Christ, actively trusting in the substitutionary death of Jesus on the cross. And again, if we do so, then the door for the rest of the verse, it is open to us. We are members of Christ's body. It's an interesting context, because both before and after this verse, Paul has been talking about husbands and wives. The mystery is profound, he admits in verse 32, for it refers to the relationship between Christ and his church. It's incredible to think that God should liken our relationship with him to that of what husbands and wives have between each other. For the marriage relationship, it is the nearest, it is the dearest, and it is the most intense relationship that we can imagine on earth. And biblically speaking, it is the closest and most enduring relationship under heaven. Though society seems keen on constantly degrading what marriage is supposed to be and look like, this remains the testimony of Scripture that husbands and wives become one. It's a relationship, that only death can dissolve. For in the bonds of marriage, we're told again that the two become one. They grow as one. Husbands and wives, they grow in a unity of heart, a unity of mind, and in a unity of purpose. The husband, though rarely living up to the calling, is yet to give himself to his wife entirely, to deny self, and to instead pour himself out for his wife, for her well-being and for her security, to comfort her with his love tokens. And though rarely living up to their calling, wives yet are still to honor their husbands and to respect and help them. That's the image that God uses to describe the relationship that we have to him. We become one with the Lord who pours out himself for our good. And we grow into him, into a unity of our own thoughts and minds and spirit, growing closer together in both heart and soul, being knit together with the Lord in inseparable love. And yet what's so amazing is that according to Paul, there's such a vital union between us and Jesus that he felt like even that metaphor of husbands and wives, not even that was good enough. Even that, he seems to say, is an imperfect image, and he would have us still be even closer to the Lord. For while husbands and wives are knit together in mind and spirit, yet do they remain separate individuals. They still act and do things apart from their spouses. They still act according to their own self-interest. But now, in verse 30, Paul puts it in the closest way possible. We are members of his body. We're not just talking now about a joining of persons, but we're talking now about a unity of identity. We're not just being joined to God, but rather we are being made a part of him. Members of his body. So profound is the relationship, so profound is the mystery, that we can say, go so far as to say that we are a vital part of his body. In some mysterious way, certainly beyond our comprehension, it's as if we are an essential part of the whole. Back in chapter 1, Paul says that it is the church that is the fullness of Christ who fills all things. What majesty of speech he bestows upon the church and upon us, that Paul should dare to say that the church is the fullness of Christ, as if Christ without a people is impossible. That the church, it is an essential component, even, of who Jesus is. It's as if it would be impossible for Jesus to not have a church. We are one with him, and so close is our unity with him that there is no separating us from God. Somehow it's like the church has become even essential to his very identity. That is how fully he has taken up to us to be with himself. That's how high his love has brought us to. That he has raptured us upwards to become one with him. We see how Jesus wraps his identity with his people. For it seems like every time Jesus describes himself, it's always in relationship to the church. He He cannot be a savior without a saved people. It'd be an oxymoron for Jesus to be a shepherd if there were no sheep of his flock. He couldn't be a king if there were no subjects. And he couldn't be the head if there was no body. In this we find that God has wrapped, again, his identity up with his people. And though I don't think we can ever truly understand it, that is yet how the scriptures speak. In some mysterious way, so united to Christ are his people, we've become an essential part of who he is. He has so attached us to himself that we are linked to him now in a most vital and intimate way, like a branch is to the vine. To the point that it can be said, dear friends, that in Christ's death, we ourselves were buried. That in Christ's resurrection, we can say that we ourselves have arisen. And in time, our very persons will be brought up to be with him forever with the Lord, beholding his glory and sharing in that glory ourselves. It's such an amazing declaration that Paul makes this morning. And if it weren't for the Holy Spirit himself who spoke these words, we wouldn't dare ever believe it or even consider it. We would call it crazy. But here is the matchless, limitless, crazy love that God has for you. That God would so love the world, that he would so love and call a special people to himself, that he would so unite himself to them in bonds that are unbreakable, that he would so wrap himself to us and in us and around us, that our union with him becomes one now of an identity, where we become so a part of him that we would be called now members of his body. And dear friends, that truth this morning, it guarantees then your safety. For if you are in Christ, your eternity is certain forever. For where the head is and where it is living, there the body must be also. I give to my sheep eternal life, Jesus says, and no one shall ever pluck them out of my hands. Never will they perish, he says. And lastly, when Christ calls us members of his body, I find great comfort in remembering Paul's words when he said that no man ever hated his flesh. We are one body with Christ, and he has never then hated one of his own. If members of his body, then he may chasten us, he may correct us, he may even lay heavy burdens upon us, but he will not. Indeed, dear friends, he cannot neglect or despise his own flesh. Even if he puts us through the storm, dear friends, there is only ever love that he feels towards you. Like when I myself have a muscle ache, or if I have a sore joint, even then, I can confess I don't hate my joints. I don't hate any part of my body, for it is a part of me and who I am. I don't ever wish harm to come upon any part of me. I never wish it ill, but rather I take great pains to help and care for it, to nurture it. And that's how Jesus feels towards you, members of his body. He loves his people despite all the pains that we feel and that we inflict. though not worthy to be called his people, he calls us to be one with himself, united to him for all eternity, and experiencing and rejoicing in that heavenly state where we will be forever with the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, 585. At this time, we worship God with our offerings.
Thank you.
Please stand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that you are full of loving kindness and compassion to your creation. You have loved us with a mighty love, and you have sent your Son to so redeem us that we would be made one with him. We give you thanks and praise that you would so think upon us so as to make us members of Christ's body. Give us the joy, peace, and security, and knowing that we are loved and cherished by you, and that we are in the mighty hands that never fail. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And holy Lord, as you have brought us into a close relationship with you, lead us to so live accordingly. Lead us to love you in return with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Knit our hearts and minds to your own, that we would love the things that you love, and that we would hate the things that you hate. Give us holy hearts that cherish goodness and cherish righteousness and mercy. And lead us to live as your people, loving your word and your law. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And mighty God, give us boldness and confidence in our faith to stand for truth in an uncertain time. Give us confidence in knowing that we are yours and that we belong to you. Give us the faith to see and believe that we are yours, for you have redeemed us. Comfort our hearts to not fear the things of this world, knowing that our eternity is certain and secure in you. Lead us rather to care first and foremost on how we can love you and how to love our neighbors as ourselves. And furthermore, Lord, be with all families and with all husbands and wives. Lead those who are married into lives of sacrifice and service. And be with your church, that we may be lights to the world, bearing witness to the ways of godliness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, great physician, we pray for your merciful touch to rest upon those struggling with life's pains. We especially lift before you the pastor at Heights Point, Pastor Rocco and his family, as Rocco's mother has passed away. Grant that peace which surpasses understanding, and give them comfort and hope in the midst of loss. Lord, we further ask that you would be with all who are struggling with the pains of body and soul. Give relief and healing. Grant peace and comfort for those who are hurting. Be with the children of this congregation as they start and have started a new school year. Surround them with good friends, good teachers, good role models, and just sustain them in your care and raise them up to maturity and knowledge of you and of your creation. And lastly, Lord, we ask that you would be with your church as well. Raise up pastors and shepherds who will faithfully care for, feed, and defend your flock.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 655.